The scripture reading this morning is from John 15, 1 through 11, from the English Standard Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. A reading from God's word.
Let's pray. Oh God, would you simply speak to our hearts today in this place, a deep word of truth, a word that is reminiscent of the Son's words to the church of being the vine, the one that, only one that gives life, the one that we need to remain attached to, that even this day, help us to be attached to Jesus by the Spirit. And in so doing, to hear the particular word that you have for each one of our hearts. And so help us in this moment to release the things that we have brought in here with us that may distract us from you, and that we would turn our eyes upon Jesus so that everything else would become dim, and we would see his glorious face. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we hear the words today, of Jesus, we need to take a moment and consider what's being said in context, as this will be the seventh of seven sermons reflecting Jesus' I Am statements. So the last one, as we began 7 weeks ago, with Jesus affirming that I am the bread, I am the living water, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally today, he makes this statement of, I am the true vine. And so we need to consider the context, because this story is actually located in kind of the central part of a much larger set of scripture, if you will, from chapter 13 to 17, that's often referred to as the final discourse. Meaning that it was a final time of teaching before giving himself up to those who would crucify him. And so actually back in chapter 13, Jesus begins teaching and pouring himself into these disciples and affirming that what's going to happen is needful, but not to let their hearts be troubled, as we heard before in chapter 14. And so in this section, it's significant that the words we hear are final words to those he loves as he is preparing them for the event at the cross of Calvary. He's not wringing his hands. He's not fretting. He's loving. He's pouring himself into them even at this moment. So even with that said, these words were hard to hear what he had to say, because we also learned previously that he told them he's going away, and that made them distraught, and it upset them and it bothered them. And he wants them to know in his going away that they will be cared for by the presence and the power of another, being the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who is being sent in his absence. And so as they're walking along and they're sharing the things that they would have been talking about at this stage of life that mattered to them and to the Lord, The Bible doesn't really clearly say, but he may have very well been in the possibly going through the Kidron Valley where there were massive grapevines and large grapes hanging off the vines and pointed at one of those and then made his statement. Or they may have very well been walking through the temple court, and on the rock pillars in the temple court, there are grapes and grapevines kind of hammered into those pillars representing the nation of Israel. He may have pointed at those, but it doesn't really matter one way or the other. Jesus made it a point to notice the grapes, and he made this statement. And let me reaffirm what Kim has already shared, and hear these words to us, to you, to the church today, as Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you." Let me pause there for a minute and say that once again, it's a word that we don't use that often. So maybe you have a translation that says, "remain in me, stay with me." But abide is a word that means to stay connected. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full." Now, with that said, with Jesus' statement to the disciples, you and I today would probably not necessarily feel the same impact as these Jewish disciples did in the first century. I mean, sure, we live in an area where, you know, a couple days out of the year, you can drive up on the lake and even smell the grapes as they're ripening and see the beautiful grapes on the vines, and what, you know, summer for maybe a week or so, have the grapes come on the vine. You know, in a good year, we might get a couple of weeks, and I'm obviously being facetious, but it kind of feels that way. But in first century Palestine, the first Jews would have had a history of God leading them. There's much significance in Jesus' words in that regard. The nation of Israel had been referred to as the vine multiple times in the Old Testament. In fact, in Psalm 80, we read, "You brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations and planted it, you cleared the ground for it, it took deep root and filled the land." For a season, that was true. That was the case, that the nation gave glory to God by their faithfulness and their response to worshiping him. In fact, the prophet Hosea follows by saying these words, "Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars." It was because of God that they were being built up as a nation seen as the vine connected, or excuse me, the branches connected to the true vine. And in some sense, Israel itself was being referred to as the vine, and the Father was the vine dresser, and they were bearing fruit out of branches as long as they were found faithful. Though unfortunately, when we search our Old Testament, you'll also find other references to the vine of God being the vine dresser. And Jesus' words would have caught the attention of these Jews, especially in passages like Ezekiel chapter 15 and 16, where Israel is referred to as a useless vine, one that did not bear fruit as it should. In fact, one that betrayed God often, and God was faithful to keep wooing them back. And so that would have hit a painful chord. And Jesus came in the midst of that to say, "I am not just the vine, but I am the true vine," implying that I will not fail you. I will not fail the Father, and the one who will lead my church into fruit bearing is standing before you. So my prayer today is that we can find something of meaning and value in our own context in that regard before we're done. With that said, there are many things that could be said about these 11 verses. There are many sermons that could be preached out of these probing words of our Lord today. And so for the time that we have together, I want to pick two powerful promises of our Lord in verse 5 and verse 7. But before summarizing these points, let's walk together through Jesus' statement as followers. Jesus opens his teaching by confirming he is the true vine, which implies that there were other vines who came before that were not true. We could even say, since Jesus has walked the earth, that there have been others who made claims to be Christ or to be of Christ and were not so. And so, as the true vine, he is groomed and taken care of by the true vine dresser, our Heavenly Father. So in context, he points out that Israel has failed, but I will not. I will never fail you. And all who abide, all who remain, all who trust in him will be productive because of what he does through them, not because of what they do themselves. So the next thing that we see is the vine dresser does two things. He takes away those branches that do not produce fruit, and he prunes the ones that do produce, that they might produce even more. Let me, as an aside, say there, if God has produced fruit in your life in some form or fashion, whether that be through your prayer life or through your discipleship or through serving or through worship, where you didn't do those things as you had before, give him praise. But also know that sometimes we get to a point to where it may feel like we're kind of sticking, or it's difficult, or it's challenging. And rather than feeling like I'm going off in the wrong direction, maybe the Lord's pruning you to take you deeper into something in that area. Maybe he wants your prayer life to increase in such a way that certain things need to be lopped off, if you will, in order for that growth to come somewhere else. Sometimes I believe that pruning is that way. Jesus then tells those walking with him that if they have received his word, his teaching as truth and life, then they are clean. In essence, they've received the pruning that bears fruit. We need this cleansing of his word daily. That's why it's so important today to live the psalmist's words of 119:11, where he says, this affirmation, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's why it's so important to know his word. He next reaffirms that in order for the branch to produce anything of value in Christ, it must be found abiding in him. Which brings us to the first verse I want to draw your attention to. In verse 5, Jesus says these words. Let's hear them again. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, although Jesus was speaking to a particular group of people in a particular culture, the essence of his words are eternal, and they reflect a sharp reminder of your need and my need today to abide in our source as children of God daily. We need Jesus moment by moment. Matthew tells the church that in the end times, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. And our brother Timothy says that now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching demons. And John says in one of his epistles to the church that they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not at all of us. Jesus' opening words of the Father's pruning dead branches is a serious and sobering reminder that in the latter days, there will be false and even fake believers and Christians in the church and in the world, and that there's serious consequences for not abiding in the true vine for those who are taken away and gathered and burned. Now, there is an expectation that in the latter days, the true branches will bear much fruit through times of pruning. And that's a blessing to consider today. But what does pruning look like? What does it look like in the life of individual branches, in the life of the church, in your life, in my life? One author notes this: God's word is the perfect tool for pruning us. God's word is sharp so that it can remove the unwanted branches in our lives without harming us. The writer of Hebrews notes, "For the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word helps us to discern our intentions and our thoughts. God directs our pruning through the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit guides us into all truth, helping us to study what we need. It also helps us to see what God is working out in our lives. And so the Holy Spirit encourages us and directs our minds as we come to His Word. Pruning hurts. Pruning restores. Pruning makes beautiful fruit. So like good medicine, I find it's not always easy to take, but it always has good results for my growth and my well-being in this life. And so the question becomes, if we're not finding ourselves being pruned by God's word for more fruitful, more living out of Christ's joy, more living out of Christ's love, then we need to be reminded of Jesus' word that if you do not abide in me, and my words do not abide in you, then you can do nothing apart from me. See, these words are very strong medicine for the church today. Though Jesus knew that some would not remain abiding in his presence, some would resist the pruning of the Father and the persecution of the world. And so he spoke these final words to those he dearly loved. Abide, abide. He says it at least 10 times in these few verses. One Bible commentary offers this vivid image, which I appreciate. At any time in our spiritual journey, we are as close to God as we choose to be. As we continue to consider John chapter 15, we see that if we as branches choose to separate ourselves from the vine, Jesus Christ, we no longer have a supply of life-giving nourishment and strength. If there are certain areas in our life that we refuse to submit to God, we will bear no fruit of eternal value. People who claim to believe in God but who do not live in obedience to Him are not receiving God's nourishment to be fruitful. But when a child of God produces spiritual fruit, God will prune him or her so that he or she will become even more fruitful. And that's what I was trying to give a picture of a moment ago when I was saying if there's some trial or something that's going on in your spiritual journey, it may not be a bad thing if God is working in an area to take you deeper to bear more fruit. Then praise Him for that. God tells us in Hebrews 12, 5, 6, and 11, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. God will discipline us for our good and for His glory. This closing statement, for our good and for His glory, sums up well Jesus' whole intent, I believe, of referring to Himself as the true vine. When He says, "I am the true vine," He immediately is referring to Himself as our source for all things good to flow through our lives, not so that we can look beautiful on the vine, but rather that we bring glory to the vine dresser who is our Father God. Now, sometimes you may be driving down the highway by an orchard or a vineyard and see vines with beautiful, large green leaves all over them, and they look lush and everything, but if there's no fruit, then it's a sign that it's not been pruned, and it's a sign that it'll not be fruitful. And so sometimes even the beautiful, leafy part of the vine needs to be taken away so that the fruit can be coming forth. And so with this in mind, the second verse that I would highlight, verse 7, makes good sense. Listen, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Followed by this concluding statement, by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, I will not ask anything, as Jesus says, in a selfish sense. If his vine is bearing fruit through me as his branch, then anything that I'll ask will be anything that brings him glory. But I'll not ask for anything like bigger toys or less struggles or more authority or anything in this life, unless those things bring glory to God, which he has done in the past. King Solomon is a good example of one that he gave much wealth and responsibility to, and it was a blessing for a time. And he gave glory to God in that season. But I will begin to ask anything that brings you glory by the fruit that is the source that is bearing in my life as me being his branch. As the vine flows through me, connected, as I'm abiding, I'll ask anything that will bring him glory and he will answer. Now, as I was preparing this message, I heard one of my favorite pastors preach a sermon called My Words Abiding in You, referring to Christ's words. And so everything that the sermon was about was words of truth and teaching that Jesus had spoken throughout his earthly ministry. And as I was listening, it was an audio recording, and I just couldn't help very early on but realize everything he was saying was a word from Christ. He wasn't giving any commentary of his own. He wasn't putting any words of his own thinking or reflecting on anything. It was just a stream of teaching that Jesus had. Most of it was from the gospel, but not all of it. Some of it was from Paul's letters and maybe even the Psalms and some Old Testament teaching. And as he was going on and minute after minute, I finally, when it hit me, I realized what was happening. I was truly amazed. So I searched for a video rather than an audio file, and I went and I turned it on and I hit the play button and I watched as this branch, if you will, gave a powerful message for 15, 20 or more minutes, and he never looked at a manuscript and he never even opened the written word, but he spoke it, even sometimes looking up and looking at the people and even closing his eyes, and it was just flowing out of his heart. It wasn't just rote. Now, I realize some people are gifted more that way than the other. I am not. I wish that I could remember and recall things to recollection like that. But the point of it was, I was so amazed because his heart was seen in the fact that the word was alive in him. And it was an abiding source. And he was speaking it in such a way that it wasn't just information, but my life is built on these truths that I am saying. And so I took the time to know them and to be able to speak them without reading them. That's how I need to know God's word, whether I ever get there or not. Maybe that's a place where I'm being pruned right now, that God is telling me, you can do that. And I'm going, oh, but God, I don't know that I can do that. That's how you need to find nourishment daily from the one who calls us to stay connected. So if we know this word in our heart, then the vine dresser gets a great blessing in store and has a great blessing in store for us as he brings glory to himself through our obedience and faithfulness to him. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me or abide in me will bear much fruit. What a wonderful promise the Lord has given us today. And so as we close with a few moments of silence before we come to receive what the Lord has for us at his table, as he has invited us, I want you to take time to thank the Lord for his abiding presence. And then take time to ask the Lord for wisdom in what needs to be pruned in your life, that you may bring glory to his name. And pruning is not always cutting. And sometimes, in fact, part of pruning is lifting up higher and cleaning things off so they can get more sunlight to be more productive and beautiful. So there may be things in your life that are on track that God is going, keep at it. And I want to give more life to that area, whether it's your prayer life or your your devotional life or your worship life or your service to the Lord or whatever it is that you've got a connection going on right now, and God is saying, stay at it. Keep on keeping on. But if there is sin that has been keeping you from growing, simply repent and turn to Christ to receive His nourishment today. If there is an area where you've experienced wonderful and extreme growth through prayer and or study or fellowship or any of the others I had just mentioned, pray to the Lord this morning for boldness to bear more fruit. Whatever it is, just allow the vine dresser to have His way in your life, in your heart, in your spirit by His Holy Spirit today. Let's pray. Our Father, Almighty God, thank You for Your word today. We are so amazed again at the life that it brings. For the one who abides in You receives true life, sustenance that can only come from You. Thank You that You have called us to greater things than the mundane things of this life, even though sometimes that's the very place that we find ourselves serving You most effectively. Thank You that You have provided us with strength and the ability to remain in Your vine. Lord, we ask for Your grace to turn over our shears to You, if You will, and to let You have Your way. So we need You to be our vine dresser. Lord Jesus, guide us down the paths that You choose for us in this life. And help us to see Your way clearly and never leave the safety of Your vine. We thank You so much for being the true vine. We love You, and we thank You for first loving us. For it's in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen.